Hello, everybody. This is Ken Ainge.
And Jane Nelson.
And this is another edition of Focusing on Solutions from PositiveDiscipline.com. Today, we want to talk about the revised edition of Positive Discipline for Parenting and Recovery. This is a book that was just recently revised, and it's actually one of my favorite books. It has everything that all the other books has in it, as well as has some good examples on how to talk to your kids about drugs, and has some example conversations. And, you know, it's not my favorite because I'm a recovering parent or anything like that. It's just I think that it includes, you know, almost everything that we talk about in Positive Discipline. Who would benefit from the Positive Discipline for Parenting and Recovery book?
Well, besides the obvious, parents who are in recovery, it could also be very helpful for parents who, a spouse who is living with someone who should be in recovery and are not, because they can really get a lot of good ideas. We have, as you know, some certified positive discipline associates who are using this with women who are in jail, because most of them are in there because they have had problems with alcohol or drugs. And they just find it very encouraging and helpful. But the other thing that's so interesting is that sometimes being in recovery gives parents an opportunity to learn parenting skills that they might not have learned if they didn't have a book like this to help them through this period.
Now, would it also benefit parents who maybe have children that may be in recovery?
Well, it's mostly for parents who are in recovery, but it would certainly, because there's so much about recovery, it would help them understanding the codependency. But I think that the main thing that parents need to do if they have children in recovery, I think our book, Positive Discipline for Teenagers, is a little bit better for that, but we strongly suggest that they get into an Al-Anon group because they really need that kind of support of understanding that when children are into drug abuse and they're not really talking to a rational child, they're talking to a child under the influence who cannot be rational. So they really need that support.
Okay. So what are some of the special problems that parents who are in recovery face?
I think that one of the biggest is that sometimes when they go into recovery, they are told that they cannot focus on anything except their recovery. That doesn't make sense when you have children. If you have children, you have to also focus on them. And so to have some very specific ways to parent that will be very effective is just so encouraging and so helpful. The other problem is that some parents who are in recovery feel so guilty about what they have done and some of the mistakes they've made that they go into permissiveness. And when they become permissive, trying to make up for what they have done, that is not healthy for children at all. In fact, it can create children that become so spoiled and demanding and feeling entitled that's enough to drive you to drink again or to drugs. So they really need to know how to be both kind and firm. Most parents are, well, these happy to know or some are scared to know that the positive discipline does not include any punishment at all. But some people think that means the only alternative is permissiveness. And as you know, we don't agree with permissiveness either. We don't think that's healthy for children. But what they really do need is this kind and firm at the same time. And so it's filled with ideas that I think are especially important for parents in recovery, that they need that to be kind and firm.
Now, one of the chapters in the book is on setting limits.
And follow through.
And follow through. So what are some of the important steps for follow through?
Well, we have both steps for setting the limits in the first place and for follow through. And I think that just about any parent can relate to how easy it is to set a limit, but how hard it is to follow through. I mean, so many of us, we say it and we don't mean it, and our kids catch on really quickly and they know that they don't really have to. And I'm not going to talk about the whole chapter, but one of the steps for setting the limit in the first place is to let your kids know in advance. And if possible, to even get them involved, that's the best, when they help set the limit and they agree to it. Of course, it would be nice if it worked that way, that they agree on it or they help set it. But then children are children and they're going to test. And during the testing phase, that's when it can be really hard. Parents often react and say, how many times I told you, you said you would do this. I can't believe you do. You know, they go into their lectures and their put downs. And so we talk about follow through, where parents just kindly and firmly follow through. And there's quite a delightful story that I would just like to read some of it from the book on follow through. And it's the example of the Browns, who had problems with kids who fought. And especially when they would go to McDonald's, and they had talked about it, the kids had agreed, oh, we won't fight, we won't fight. But of course, they did. And I just, let me read a little bit of this. On Sunday, Mr. Brown asked the boys if they would like to go to McDonald's. They both said yes and made a beeline for the car. When the boys started fighting a few blocks from home, instead of nagging that used to take place, Mr. and Mrs. Brown looked at each other and squeezed each other's hand to offer support. Mrs. Brown pulled the car over to wait for the fighting to stop. A few minutes later, the boys stopped fighting and the Browns continued to drive to McDonald's. Before the Browns had even finished ordering the food, the boys began fighting again. Mr. and Mrs. Brown looked at each other, winked, and told the clerk to cancel their order. Now, we all know how hard this is. When the boys realized what was happening, they promised to stop fighting. Mrs. Brown smiled and said, we'll try again next Sunday. Gordy continued his protests and pleaded to stay at McDonald's. Mr. and Mrs. Brown turned toward the door and walked out of the restaurant and into the car. Now, see, this is a great example of kind and firm. They waited a few minutes until the boys joined them. Gordy was very angry and cursed his parents under his breath. Johnny sat in the back seat crying softly. A lot of parents would give in at that point. Yep. But Mrs. Brown drove home in silence, got out of the car, and both parents went into the kitchen to begin making dinner. Johnny, noticing what was happening, began to set the table, all the while mumbling under his breath that it wasn't fair. When parents give children the opportunity to try again, they are being respectful to themselves and to the child. They are saying, I am going to maintain routine and follow through. They are saying to the child, it's okay if you make a mistake. Anyone can make a mistake. You have an opportunity to try again. The following week, the boys were quiet in the car, but once the food was ordered, they started chasing each other through the restaurant, yelling and threatening to hit each other. Mr. and Mrs. Brown waited for the food and then walked quietly to the car. Johnny and Gordy came out of the restaurant crying. Both boys were talking at the same time, trying to blame the other for starting the fight. When Mrs. Brown started the engine, Johnny shouted, "You don't care about me!" Mrs. Brown gently took Johnny's hand and led him to the back seat of the car without saying a word. Johnny put on his seatbelt, crying, "Nobody cares about me!" Once the family arrived back home, things were quiet. The boys were getting the picture and realized their complaints did not change anything. The food was put on the table and everyone ate in silence. Mr. and Mrs. Brown felt less exhausted than on previous outings. Even though the kids hassled them, they had a goal and a plan to reach that goal. They congratulated each other and felt like clear progress. Next week, the family enjoyed a trip to McDonald's without any hassles. Occasionally in the weeks that followed, Mr. or Mrs. Brown would pull the car over if the boys were fighting, but soon even that stopped. With hard work, time, and courage, Mr. and Mrs. Brown followed through with their plan. And I just think that that's such a great example of how kids will test. But when their testing is met with both kindness and firmness, follow through, they usually get the picture and then they know what to expect. They know that if their parents say it, they mean it. And if they mean it, they'll follow through without the threats, the lectures, but they'll just be kind and firm.
Now, in the book and in your lectures, you often talk about the steps or the traps that defeat follow through. Are there five traps that defeat follow through? Is that what there are?
Yes, and I have to tell you, I really like these because it's so good in helping us to understand what happens. The first one is not getting a specific agreement in advance. It's just so respectful to let the kids know in advance what you're going to do. And then I also love this one. The second trap is expecting children to have the same priorities as adults. It's like, for example, if a child promises to mow the lawn they don't care about mowing the lawn. It doesn't mean that they shouldn't do it, but it's certainly not on the top 10 or the top 100 or even on their list of priorities. And instead of lecturing them and saying, how can't you be more responsible? You just don't, you're just a slob or whatever. Just understand they don't have the same priorities and they still need to do it. So the third one is lack of understanding different styles. And just like Gordy and what was the other boy's name? They had different styles in reacting to when their parents did follow through. And I think it's just so important to let kids have their feelings or to let them have their temper tantrums or and not not buy into it, not let them try to talk them out of their feelings, tell them they shouldn't. It's not the time for lectures. Just let them have their feelings or their style. Of course, the big one is failing to stick to the plan. It's like if you don't stick to the plan, then what's the point of the limit? And I love number five is not maintaining dignity and respect for the child and the adult at all times. And so it's like when we follow those first the steps to setting the limits and then understand the traps that defeat us, it just makes it go so much easier because we know what to expect.
Now, the example you often give in your lectures is riding in the car.
And this one includes that. It's like that if you, instead of lecturing kids, if you just simply pull over and you don't say a word, that's a key thing, is you don't say a word. It's like understanding that kids aren't stupid. If you've told them you're going to pull over, you don't need to remind them. They know. And if you just sit there and kindly wait for them to follow their part of the agreement, they'll get bored eventually. They will. But if you know what's so interesting about that is if you start in lecture, then they're not bored. Then they get to feel like they're defeating you and they can out-argue you every time.
I think, you know, the big problem, at least, I think, would be is having the patience to do that because, you know, I may want to go to McDonald's and, you know, I may put up with, you know, fighting kids so I could get my Big Mac or, you know, I may not want to pull over the car because I want to get where I'm going. And so, I mean, it requires quite a bit of patience to do that follow through.
And you know what I always tell parents who have these objections? I say, did anybody tell you that parenting was easy? And actually modeling patience, see what that gives the children, this great model, and they learn what they live. And sometimes we just have to understand that training our children is more important than our own convenience. But the thing that's so great about this is that when kids really know that they can expect, that they can trust that if you say it, you'll mean it, you mean it, you're going to follow through, then you get to go to McDonald's. You don't have to have the hassles that make the indigestion when you're there. And it takes training that pays off in the long run.
Okay, so the book is Positive Discipline for Parenting and Recovery, and it's available on empoweringpeople.com. And you can find a link to empoweringpeople.com on positivedisciplined.com. And we've got it discounted there. So you'll probably the best price you can find would be right there on empoweringpeople.com. So is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I just, to bring it back to parenting in recovery, I love that it's so encouraging and that parents can feel like they're not alone. And one of the things when they go to classes, and that is one other thing, I think that to get into a parenting class or to start a parenting group, because recovery is difficult by yourself. But if you even start a class yourself, get some people that read the book and you study the book together if you can't find a formal class, because it is so encouraging to find out that you're not alone. And recovering parents need to know that parents who aren't in recovery have just as many hassles, the same kind of hassles, and need the kind of parenting skills that they can learn in this book. And so that, again, they can look back and think, wow, this was an opportunity. This was really a gift, my drug abuse or my alcohol that led me to become a better parent in the long run.
Okay, great. Well, that about wraps it up for this time. So until next time, this is Ken Ainge.
And Jane Nelson.
For Focusing on Solutions from PositiveDiscipline.com.
Homework, soccer, part-time jobs, the internet. Are you and your busy kids overlooking something important? Don't forget music. Hi, this is Sarah Evans. Studying music is one of the most valuable ways a student can spend time. Practicing music reinforces teamwork, communication skills, self-discipline, and creativity. All qualities kids need to be successful in their other schoolwork. These skills will help kids later, too, in their jobs and in society. Help your kids learn that there's more to music than what they hear on the radio. The more they learn about it, the more they'll enjoy listening to their favorite tunes. Then, maybe, they can even explain to you why they think their own music is so cool. Hey, turn off the TV and play music with your kids.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.